In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Now, the word "therefore" indicates to us that whatever follows here is closely connected with what went before. And because of what went before, the things that follow are necessary to be observed by us. So it will behoove us to go back and take a short look at what went before. Hebrews 1:1, "God spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets through diverse manners and at sundry times." It was a message that was broken in time, here a little, there a little, and it made manifest the mind of God. "And hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son." He spoke to the fathers through the prophets, but now he speaks to us in his Son. Amen. And that is the his own Son, the Son of the same nature of him, his natural Son. "God hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, because he who speaks to us is the owner and possessor of all things, the ruler and regulator of all things. All power in heaven and earth is in his hands, and what he says is the law of the universe. We ought to give the more earnest heed to what he says, by whom he made the worlds. Not only does he govern the worlds, and by him all things consist, but he made the worlds. Amen. Who being the brightness of his glory," that is the light that shines out, that is perceptible to us by that light shining in the face of Jesus Christ, "we know the Father, whom to know is life eternal." Knowing God is eternal life. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Everything that is in God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He told Philip, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou known me? And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He that seen me has seen the Father. We know the Father by knowing the Son. He's the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. He rules it, governs the world. "When he had by himself purged our sins." Now look at that. He purged our sins. That means he put them away. He robbed them of their guilt. He washed them in his own blood. Therefore, all who believe on him are not guilty in the eyes of God. Amen. They have no guilt. Amen. That's good news. That's some astounding news right there. That God will not acknowledge guilt in them for whom the Lord Jesus Christ, they are believers. "Who by himself, when he had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He now is seated. There is a man in glory this morning. Somebody of our nature, and look what he has done. He has taken our nature and he has exalted that nature to the throne of God. Look at Revelations 3:21. Revelations 3:21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Well, now who is he that overcometh? It's he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this morning, he has entered heaven in our name and in our nature. And he appears there, who is the covenant of the people. He appears there on our behalf. who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Now, there's something that we need to keep before us here at all times in this epistle to the Hebrews, and that is the danger that the Jews had of wanting to go back to Judaism. They had worshipped God for 1,500 years in a visible, glorious, grand temple, and before that, the tabernacle in the wilderness. They had a visible, glorious priesthood. They had rituals of service that were ordained of God, that were according to the law of God. And now comes Christianity with no visible temple, no visible priesthood, no visible glory, an invisible priest, and all these things. And they are told to leave Judaism and come to Christianity because that is the new and living way which was established by the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were under constant pressure from their brethren Jews to come back to Judaism. Constant pressure. So that is something that needs to bear in mind in everything we read in this book of Hebrews, that the thing was that they were under pressure to go back to a former way of worship. And this book is to guide them away from that. Being so much better than the angels. Now, because the law was given by the ministration of angels, and because angels were held in such high regard by the Jews, it was necessary that the apostle teach those who had the revelation of Christ, that Christ Jesus is much better than the angels. Being made so much better than the angels, that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, he is the natural inheritor of all that is God's. He's God's son. So he by inheritance, and not only has he the inheritance being the natural son of God, but it is by appointment. He is appointed heir of all things as man and mediator. Now all of this in our nature as a man. He appeared here on earth in our nature for us. For to which of the angels said he at any time? He never said this to any angel at any time. For to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? Which he said to his son in the second Psalm, verse 7, he said, I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He said that to his son, not to the angels. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That he said in 2 Samuel 7:14, when he gave the first statement of the everlasting covenant of grace. Never said that to any angel at any time, but he did say it to his son. So his son is much better than the angels. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let the angels of God worship him. That proves he's much better than angels. Let the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. That is, the Son of God, or our Lord Jesus Christ, who created all things, created both things visible and invisible, thrones, principalities, and powers, things in heaven and in earth, he is made of. He is the creator of all things, and these angels are the creatures of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's much better than angels. He is infinitely superior to angels. Now, Brother Jerry mentioned the Catholics. They have a hierarchy of mediators that they pretend that you go through to get a prayer to Mary and then to Jesus. Well, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and all these angels matter not a twit when it comes to mediation. They're not the mediator. Nor is Mary a mediatrix, nor any of the deceased saints, nor anybody else except the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the only great high priest there is in the church of the living God. He is the priest. We are a family of priests in that we have access to the throne, and we may bring our petitions before the Father at any time in the name of the Son. But to act as a priest, speaking for men in the presence of God, that is the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of the angels he saith, he maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith. Now think about this. He's not saying this to that eternal spirit. He's saying that to the man, Christ Jesus, who is one with that eternal spirit. For that eternal spirit took the nature of men into union with his person, and God the Father is speaking to him as man and mediator upon the earth. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now God the Son, is much better than angels. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But unto which of the angels said he at any time? He never said this to any angel at any time. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He did say that to his Son in the 110th Psalm, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits? All the angels, the thousands and millions of angels, are all ministering spirits, and they minister to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his body, his people, the church. That's their job. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? Who shall certainly be, not maybe, they shall be heirs of salvation. Therefore, because of all these things, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them leak out of our memory. Now, I don't know about your memory, but mine is a very leaky bucket. Things leave me. And we're of that nature. And it comes from our corruption in the fall. But we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now look at Jude, verse 3. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence. Now Jude said, when I gave all, he looked into these when he began to write, with all diligence. We ought to diligently look into all these things of the Scripture. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, earnestly contending for the faith is earnestly seeking after, desiring to obtain and to acquaint ourselves with and become knowledgeable in that body of scriptural knowledge, which is the faith of the Church of God, the faith of God's elect, which is the doctrine of Christ. It is necessary that we become thoroughly acquainted with that. Look at 2 John, 2 General Epistle of John, chapter verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. What does that mean? All the teachings concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. That He is God and man in one glorious person, one unique person. He's the only one that is God and man in one person. Mm-hmm. That He came into this world to save His people from his sins. And He did exactly that when He shed His blood on the cross and washed them from their sins in His own blood. God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, regardless of what they say, what they look like, they might have a halo on their head. If they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, they have not God. If they don't abide in the doctrine of election, predestination, and adoption by the Father, redemption, justification by the Son, effectual call by the Holy Spirit, they have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into a house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So be careful who you give your money to standing on the corner. You may be giving it into the hand of Antichrist. There was a movement here a few years back, and I forget the name of it, but it was a Korean. And they were flowers. They'd stand on the corners passing out flowers, and of course they'd give you a flower if you'd give them some money, and that was to promote their cause. And I don't remember the name of it right off, but yeah, Dr. Moon, the Moonies, that's what it was. And they said, and their doctrine was this, that, well, since Jesus Christ came into the world to save all men according to universalism, and all men are not saved, therefore He's made a terrible failure, and I'm come to straighten things out. This was Dr. Moon's doctrine. And I can remember that they stood on the bridge at Sandy Hook taking money for flowers to give that order. So it's necessary that we be diligent in whom we support.
Yeah.
Look at Hebrews 5. For when for the time, in other words, these Hebrews now had been in the way of Christianity long enough that they should be teachers. They should have learned, meditated, heard the gospel enough, known enough to be teachers. Ye have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So if we don't give ourselves wholly to this, to the hearing the gospel preached, to studying the doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of Christ, then these things will leak out. Out of our leaky brain. And it's a horrible loss. It's a horrible loss. I get back to where I was here. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Take heed to the things which we have heard. Take heed to what you hear and how you hear. If you sit under doctrine that's contrary to the Scripture, we should turn it away. If we sit under doctrine that is according to the Scripture, we should give all diligence to hear it. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4:1, he says, I'll just turn over and read that. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." That is everyone who professes to preach by the Spirit and to be taught by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Thereby know thee the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Everyone that confesses the doctrine of Christ to be true is of God. "Therefore we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." The word "slip" there in Greek is par or hu ero. And it is and it means to pass by carelessly or to miss, to let slip or let it run out. It's like someone who does not refresh their memory from time to time by hearing the gospel preached and by reading the scriptures and so on, that these things begin to fade away from them, and they by negligence allow those things to be lost to them. They slip out. They leak out. Also, it's like a ship passing by a harbor who is careless in their watching, and they just pass by. Now, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast..." Now, the angels were used in the giving of the law. If the word spoken by angels, they were used by causing the words to be heard by the people. Look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. And we begin reading at verse 16. "Now the Lord had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and had brought them to Mount Sinai and was about to give the law." And here in Exodus 19, verse 16, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a dark cloud upon the mount," this is Mount Sinai, "and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that the people that was in the camp trembled." Now this trumpet, this sound of the trumpet, was most likely caused by the angels. And it continued longer and longer and longer and got louder and louder and louder, until the people begin to fear and to quake. And Moses, well, we'll read what he says. "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the neither part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke." Now, the reason it was altogether on a smoke was because the Lord descended upon it in fire. "And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount did quake greatly." Now the mountain shook, was all on a smoke. The Lord had descended on it in fire. and it was a terrible, terrible sight. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now the voice there is probably the voice that was produced by the angels. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 18. Now we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, because, look at this. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. That is, touched by God. And it was touched by him, because it was all on smoke, and it shook and quaked, and it was a terrible sight. For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor to blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mount, it might be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Well, you'd think that those people who were terrified and brought to a state of absolute terror and horror by these sights would not forget that. You'd think that would burn something into their mind that would be indelible, that they wouldn't be able to lose it. But not many days after this, they made themselves a golden calf and said, Behold, Israel, your gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt. That shows you, number one, our depravity, how quickly if we're not kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, how quickly we can turn from the truth into error. And then the faultiness of our nature. All right, let me get back to Hebrews. For if the word spoken by angels, look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. The chariots of God are 20,000. Now what are these chariots? Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. He hath ascended on high. He hath led captivity captive. Thou hast received gift for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So the angels were involved in the giving of the law. They caused the compressions and rarefactions of the air, which was the sound that the people heard, and the voice of the trumpet, and it was the voice of words, the giving of the law. (Clears throat) For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward. In Psalm 110, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 10. Now, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, or a just requital, a just and an appropriate refund or reciprocating action. But that's not the case. If they did, if we were under the law, then there'd be no hope for us. Because the law is the administration of death. And it's the administration of condemnation. But look in Psalm 103, verse 10. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How did he do that? By charging them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Father made all the sins of all his people of all ages to meet together on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus bare those sins in his own body on the tree and put them away forever. So he has separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Look at Micah. Micah chapter 7 verse 19. Now, for all these reasons, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we ought to search the Scriptures, inquire, and search diligently for the faith, that body of truth that was once delivered to the saints. Micah 7:19, He will turn again, He will have compassion on us, He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Look at Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them. It would be unjust in God to impute transgressions to us, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has already bore our transgressions. Yeah. The justice of God won't allow that. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Will not escape if we neglect or let the gospel pass by as though it were a thing of little value. Give no diligence to it, give no heed to it. but be a forgetful hearer and not a doer of the word. Now, how is it that you're a doer of the word? Well, it ain't by keeping the Ten Commandments. Because you... we can't do that. But every time anybody in the Scriptures asked any of the apostles, what must I do to be saved? The answer was always this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And the fact is, that's not something we're able to do in ourselves. Mm-mm. We can't do it. We have to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Look at 1 John 2, 19. Well, I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. Now, I'm going to go over, if you want to do this while we're here in 1 John, look over at chapter 4, verse 3. 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Anybody who denies the doctrine of Christ is Antichrist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anybody at all who denies the doctrine of Christ is Antichrist. Now look at 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us. They disassociated themselves from those who preached the true gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They left that church. They went out.
Absolutely.
They withdrew fellowship. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now look at this. But ye, believers, have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things. Now that is, we have anointing. We have an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. All things that pertain, all that you need to know for salvation.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean that, well, since he's done everything, I'll do nothing. Well, fact is, you can't do anything. Without me, you can do nothing. But we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should slip. We should study, meditate, hear the gospel, the doctrine of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But ye have an unction with the Holy One, and you know all things. Now look down on down. Let me just read verse 22. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He is a liar. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now look down at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't keep yourself. You don't keep that anointing.
Yeah.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now look on over at chapter 5, verse 20. Now here's what the anointing teaches us. And let's do verses 19 and 20. And we know that we are of God. Who's that? That's believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So the world is divided into vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. There are vessels of gold and silver, and vessels of wood, hay, and stubble, or of wood and earth. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let me throw in one other thing here in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now, this doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to us by God the Son, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. God has preached this to us. God delivered this message in the person of the God-man. And it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, that is the apostles. Look at 1 John 3. Look at 1 John 1, I mean. That which was from the beginning. Now John here is talking to us about personal experiences that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard with their natural ears and with their internal ear, the heart, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, and in him is life. He is the word of life. For the life was manifested, that life which was with the Father before the foundation of the world, that life that laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. The Apostle Paul said, we haven't brought unto you cunningly devised fables. These are things that these men actually experienced, actually seen, heard, and participated in. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, back to Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that was first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness. So the Lord began to speak it. It was confirmed to us by the apostles. And then also God bare witness. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Look at Acts 3:15-16. Acts 3:15-16. I'll back up to verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus Christ, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So the miracles and signs was the Holy Ghost bearing witness to the testimony of the apostles that theirs were the true authority of God, that they spake truth in the name of God. And the man who there was the fellow who was unable to walk, and they brought him to where Christ was and put him on a stretcher, took up the roof and let him down through the floor and or through the roof, and he was down in the midst, and Jesus said to him, "Your sins be forgiven you." The Pharisee said, "Who can forgive sin but God only?" And sure enough, who can? And so the Lord said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the man that was on the cot, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." All of those gifts, the raising of the dead and everything that was done, was by the Holy Spirit confirming the message of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll begin reading at verse 3. Well, let's go back to verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. All right, concerning spiritual gifts, I'm going to turn over to Ephesians 4, 4 through 8, I think it is. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every believer, the faith that he has is according to the gift of the measure of Christ. Now, John 3:34, the Spirit was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ without measure, but upon each individual member of his body according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's Christ's being buried, raising, ascending to glory, and his session at the right hand of the Father. And he gave some apostles. Here are the things he gave to the church. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that You were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, in sincerity and in truth from the heart.
Right. Yeah.
That's heart knowledge. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And all of these things are talking about the Holy Spirit. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God. Spirit, Lord, and God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, to the profit of the whole church. For to one he giveth the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of gifts or of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. And these all worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now all of those gifts in the early church, all of those gifts were operative until the faith was established and settled and the New Testament was written. And those were sight gifts. And they were a snare to some, to the Corinthian church particularly, because they begin to boast in their gifts and compare their gifts. Well, I must be a little closer to the Lord than you are. But after the days of the apostles, when the faith was established, the church was established, the gifts that went along with the office of the apostle, many of those gifts ceased. These TV evangelists say, well, if you believe, if your faith is what it ought to be, why, you'd raise the dead. You'd heal the sick. That's just not true. The Holy Spirit heals whom He will. But there are no apostles today, and there are no apostolic gifts today, and there's no raising of the dead today, except in that morning of the resurrection, when the whole body of Christ will come forth. So the gifts are real, and the gifts that are operative now are the offices in the church of pastors and deacons, elders, the overseers of the church who watch for the souls of them whom the Lord has put under them, and who guard the faith very tenaciously, and who will not share the pulpit with people who don't preach the doctrine of Christ. So we ought to give the more earnest heed to all the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Yeah.
Amen.